This is the FBCG Live Podcast with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Today's message is titled, Repentance. We are called to repentance from dead works. A dead work is anything that you seek to do by human effort to gain favor with God. Wherever you're joining us from, we pray this message encourages and empowers you in your daily walk with God.
Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 6. New Year's Eve, I shared with our church, y'all gonna be hearing me talking about this over and over again, but New Year's Eve, I shared that our focus for 2024 is what our church's theme and vision is, our mission and vision statement. Our vision and mission statement is developing dynamic disciples. And what I said on December the 31st, that we're gonna refocus and put our discipleship program on steroids. Somebody say steroids. We're going to seek to make sure that every member of that of our church, every person who say that they are a member of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, has been discipled in some capacity and in some way. We're trying to make sure that you are not only have you been discipled, but here's what we're also going to do. We're seeking to focus to make sure that not only have you been discipled, but that you are discipling somebody. Amen. The goal, the assignment of the church of believers is to take what they have learned, what you have learned, and deposit it in somebody else. And that's what we're focusing on, to make sure you're equipped, that you got it, that you understand. Last Sunday, I talked about the importance of us understanding who we are to teach and how we are to teach them and what we are to do. From 2 Timothy 2:2. Write that verse down if you don't have it in your notes already. 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul told Timothy, what you've been taught, what you have learned from me, what you've seen me do, what I've taught you to do, I want you to take it, embrace it, and find other faithful people that you can deposit in them so that they can teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's what our goal, our assignment, our mandate is. So over the next several weeks, I'm going to be teaching you on the stuff that you need to know. If you don't know it, I'm going to make sure you know it. Because since y'all don't come to Bible study, I bring Bible study to you. Amen. And my goal is to make sure that you know what to teach, make sure you understand what you need to learn. I asked you last week to take notes. Look at your neighbor, see if they're taking notes. Tell them shame on you if you ain't taking no notes. Tell them. Go ahead. Tell them. Shame on you. Today, I'm starting on, this is going to be part one of this, of a six-part lesson series, Hebrews 6. Can I read Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 1? Can I read that to you real quick? One and two. Let me read one and two. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. That word perfection means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgments. There are six doctrinal points there that are very important that every believer should understand and know. It's what you should know and understand, and it is what you should be depositing in others. It's what you should be teaching your kids. It's what you should be teaching your friends. It's what you should be sharing and depositing in others. Now, when we started chapter one, slow down, Pastor. When my time is limited, I feel rushed. And I'm a little bit behind because I didn't get up until 10:37, 10:36, 10:35, whatever. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going over time. Just tell them it's going to go over time. Let me tell you a little bit about Hebrews real quick. I got to tell you about Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is written by an unknown author. He does not give us his name. It's unknown who he's writing to, who he is. What we know who he is writing to. Listen carefully. He's writing to some Jewish believers. These are Jews who have converted to Christianity. They have become Christians, but their history, their background, their life, they're Jews. But the problem is they have become frustrated, defeated, and they are contemplating leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism. And the writer is writing to them to tell them, don't quit. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't quit. Don't get frustrated. Don't walk away. Don't throw up your hands. Don't walk away from Christianity. And he's giving them some insights to tell them not to do that. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about, to warn them to stay the course, stay in the path, and stick with Jesus. When we get to chapter 6, verse 1, it starts off with an important word. It says, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore, you got to ask the question, what is therefore there for? It's tying, therefore means I'm about to tie what I'm about to say with what I have just said. Are y'all with me? So to understand what he just said, let's go back to chapter 5, verse 12. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 12. Listen to what he says. He's writing to them. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. Stop, stick a pen, look at your neighbor. Say, you've been around here long enough, you should be teaching yourself. Some of y'all been a part of this church for 10, 15, 20 years, and yet you ain't taught nobody nothing. But he says in chapter 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did y'all get all of that? You know what he's saying? You've been around church long enough that you ought to be able to tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. You know what the problem is in the church? Is that we got people in church who are still siding with wrong when they should be siding with what's right. There are people in the church who still believe that abortion is okay. There are still people in the church who don't see anything wrong with homosexuality or gay marriages. I see some of y'all are in here today. Some of them people believe that's okay. Because you've bought into what the world believes and you've bought into what the world teaches. Go on and preach, Pastor. You've bought into what the world says and you don't know what the scriptures say. The scriptures are clear in certain things. Because the day is going to come when you and I are going to have to stand before God and give an account for our choices, our decisions, our behavior, our belief, our convictions, what we support, what we agree with, what we stand with. We're going to have to give an account to God one day of where we stood on right and wrong. And the writer of this passage is telling us, saying, look, you've been around church, you've been around the word. See, this church, this here church here, is not a church where the pastor is not preaching the word of God. You don't come to the First Baptist Church, Glen Arden, and I open up the Bible and read a verse and then close the Bible and go talk about whatever else I want to talk about. No, every week, I'm right here in the scriptures, right here, text, precept upon precept, concept upon concept, right from the word of God. We are an expository preaching church. Go ahead, lean over to your neighbor. You know he's preaching. Go on, why don't you say amen? Tell him. And by this time, you ought to be mature. You ought to know these things. You ought to know it up front, with and backwards. You ought to be teaching it and telling it to others. You ought to be preaching and sharing it with other people. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. In light of all of this, that by this time, you ought to be teachers, but instead, you need somebody to teach you again. Therefore, verse chapter 6, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, the first grade. I'm sorry, the kindergarten points. leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection. That word perfection means maturity. Let's roll on to what's mature. Let's roll on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of. We shouldn't have to go back and talk about these things again. And then in verses 1 and 2, he lays out 6 doctrinal truths. Here they are: repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. 6 truths. 6 doctrinal truths that you need to understand, you need to know, you need to comprehend, you need to embrace and know what they are, is what he says. And so over the next 6 weeks, I'm going to be dealing with one of these each week. Go ahead, Pastor. I am. And today we're going to start with repentance. Yeah, I knew y'all weren't going to be excited about repentance. Nobody's excited about repentance. That's why I'm going to talk to you about it, because this is the very first thing he talks about. He says, you ought not have to have this laid again, the foundations of repentance from dead works. Let me talk about repentance for just a few moments. Let me tell you what repentance is. Let me tell you what it means. Repentance is a combination of two Greek words, and here's what it means. Number one, it means to grieve. It means I'm sorry. It means I feel a conviction that I have violated a standard of God. I have went against a teachings of the eternal God that I serve. Repentance means to grieve, and also, it not only means to grieve, because some of y'all grieve, you just sorry you got caught. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that you're sorry you got caught. It means you're sorry that you violated the standard of God, that you've gone against the teachings of the Word of God, that you have embraced, that you've practiced, that you believed, that you've accepted, walked with, agreed with, said amen to something that is opposite of God. And you're sorry about it. You're grieving. You regret it. You have sorrow. But it not only means that you are regretting, not only that you're sorrowful, but it also means that you have a change in your attitude about it. Somebody say change.
Change.
Now the rest of y'all say change.
Change.
Thank you. It is grieving and changing. The scripture says that godly sorrow leads men to salvation. When you are godly sorrow, it produces a repentance that leads to salvation. Jot this verse down, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Just jot it down, I'm not going to turn to it. It means I'm recognizing that the path I've lived, the things I'm doing, are the opposite of what God wants me to do. Believe, accept, embrace. 2 Corinthians 7:10. That's what repentance means, that I'm come to grips with my behavior. Matter of fact, repentance, saints, is a firm decision of your will. You make a firm choice of your will. That's what it means. And what changes? I'm glad you asked the question. Here's what changes. First of all, you have a change in your values. Your values. I've been saying this for the last week or two. I'm going to say it again today. Our state legislators in the state of Maryland are contemplating passing a law for doctors to be given permission to assist people with committing suicide. Now, maybe you don't find that horrible. I find it horrifying that we're going to make, a person taking their own life. When God gave them that life, when God gives you your life, he gave you life for a purpose and a reason. And the sad part is that this will lead to, let me tell you what's going to lead to. They say it starts with, it does start with people who have what they define as terminal illnesses, meaning that somebody has determined that they're eventually going to die. Guess what? We all have terminal illnesses. We all going to die eventually of something. We're all going to die. But they say if they have a terminal illness, they can take their life. And what it's going to lead to is children being born who somebody determined that they shouldn't have a right to live. Maybe they have some condition or some sickness that they think is not worthy of them living, and they want to take their life. And here, I don't know about y'all, but we got a lot of people in this church that some doctor at some point said you have a terminal illness that you're not going to live very long, and then they got healed. Yeah. Or then they came up with a medicine that solved the condition that they had. And yet we want to give them permission. So I don't have this right now. I'm working on this. I'm going to try to get some information because I want you all, those of you who live in the state of Maryland, to write. Because they bring this law up every year. The last 4 or 5 years they keep bringing it up. And we keep defeating it. Why? Because our members write to their legislators and tell them we don't agree with that law. Please don't pass that law. So you're going to hear me trying to press you all to write to them and tell them don't pass that law. Because they think if they don't hear from us that we don't care. They think that we don't have an interest in this, but we do have an interest in life. When you talk about a change in value, it means changing what your values are about so many things. And life is one of them. Somebody say life is one of them. Lean over, tell your neighbor, life is one of them. You have a purpose in living. You have a reason for living. You have an assignment for living. You have a call to live. And not just in that, but we want to change our values in so many things, so many areas, so many things that we want to give value, have a change in our value. That's what it means, number one, a change in value. Number two, it means a change in lifestyle. Did you change the way you live? See, we live in a culture where people don't want to repent from how they've been living. They want to come to church and keep doing what they're doing. There's somebody on your row who's still doing what they did when they first came to church. Go ahead, look up and down your row and see if you can figure out who it is. They made no change. Let me tell you something. When you meet Jesus, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, He changes your perspective. He changes your heart. He changes your life. He gives you a reason for living, a purpose for living. He gives you a call to live. He gives you so much. He changes your life. Here's what we used to say. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. Things I used to say, I don't say anymore. I don't cuss like I used to cuss. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. I say this all the time. I'm going to say it again. If cussing was the worst sin that we had in our church, I would build a cussing lounge right outside this door and let people go into the lounge, let them just cuss till they got it all out. Come on back in church and give God the praise. If that's the worst sin that we had to deal with, there's a whole lot of other stuff that people continue to do. But when you are willing to repent, you change your lifestyle. Something changes. Things you used to do, you don't have a desire to do them anymore. The power of God takes away the desire for it. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. You used to club. You used to go to the club, but something changed down in your heart. Okay, you got old and you don't feel like going no more. It's a change in values. It's a change in lifestyle. Thirdly, lifestyle change. When you repent, you have a change in, drop this down, relationships. A change in relationships. A change in the way you treat people. Somebody say relationships. It's a change in the way you treat people. It's a change in you treating people the way you would want to be treated. I tell people all the time, God has opened up so many doors for me in my life, so many doors. I've traveled the world. I've met some of the most famous, influential people in the world I've met. And I come to recognize that God opened those doors because of some relationships that I had. Amen. God, you might not believe this, but lean over to your neighbor and say, God works through people. And you better be careful how you treat people, because The people you treat might be the avenue to your destiny. Pastor, I'm sorry for talking about your Steelers. I apologize to you. I do hope they lose today. Now, who they play? They don't play tomorrow. Oh, they play Buffalo tomorrow. Yeah. Well, they can win that game. They can win that game. But they're going to have to come through Baltimore. Okay, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm getting off track. I'm losing my focus. Stay focused, Pastor Jenkins. Stay focused. Somebody say relationships. You treat people the way you want to be treated. God has called you to treat people a certain way. Some of y'all have written people off. You've discounted them. You've rejected them. But God, when you have a relationship with Jesus, he gives you the capacity and the ability to love unlovable people. Can I get an amen right there from somebody? He gives you the capacity and the ability to treat them kind, even though they don't treat you kindly. They might talk about you, but you don't talk back about them. That's how I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved because I've seen God change my heart toward people that I know don't like me. They tried to hurt my name, tried to hurt my reputation, tried to hurt my ministry, tried to put shame on me, but I thank God he's given me the capacity to love the hell out of them. Amen. That's how I know I got Jesus. That's how I know I'm a child of God, because he's given me the capacity to treat them with love. And that's how you know you're a child of God. The change in your relationships. Now, let me close it. I got 5 minutes left. Repentance, write this down, is a lifestyle. John, let me give you time to jot that down. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something you do one time. It's a lifestyle. The closer I get to God, the more wretched I realize I am. Yeah. The more closer I get, the more I dive in his word, the more I cultivate my relationship with Jesus, I realize I am the president of the Jacked Up Jokers ministry. No, that's not true. I'm the pastor of the Jacked Up Baptist Church. Yeah. We've all sinned and fallen short of the standard of God, of what God has. I'm a sinner. I missed the mark, and though I'm getting better, but I still fail. Sometimes I still think some things I shouldn't think, and sometimes I desire some things I shouldn't desire, and sometimes I ponder things I shouldn't ponder. Sometimes I want some stuff I shouldn't want. Why y'all acting like y'all don't fall in any? I went through a list of things, and some of y'all ain't said amen to none of them. We missed the mark. I'm a jacked up joker, but I'm not so jacked up that I'm not willing to repent. And my assignment to you to tell you is to repent. Now, I spent all this time talking, and I need to spend one more moment talking about what the text says right here in verse 1. Repentance from dead works. Somebody said dead works. Can I talk for just a moment about dead works? So, who said that? Thank you, whoever it is. Praise the Lord. Doug, thank you, bro. Make you a deacon, Doug. Come on, make you a deacon. Dead works are works that are dead. Go ahead, Pastor. You on it today. Such revelation knowledge. Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, some of your works are dead. Some of us are working trying to gain God's favor. We think that if we do all the right things, somehow God will love us more. Or if we do certain things, we will please God and get God's favor. No, that's a dead work. We are not saved by our works. God's not going to love you anymore then he already loves you. He's not going to love you anymore for whatever, anything that you do. You know, we don't serve. We don't do the things we do to get saved. We do it because we are saved. Yeah. And because I'm saved, and when I accepted Jesus in my life, when I embraced him in my heart, he did something on the inside of me that took my eyes off of me thinking it was all about me, and he gave me a desire and a passion and a willingness to try to help somebody else outside of myself. He gave me a desire to serve others, to help others, to love on others, to support others. He did something inside that gives him glory that has called me to do something to help somebody else. When you have been born again, he changes your mind, your heart, your perspective, your values. When you accept Jesus, something in your heart changes. And when your heart changes, you walk differently. Things you used to do, you don't do no more. And places you used to go, you don't go no more. Amen. Thank all five of y'all for that rousing. Don't clap now, y'all, too late. Now, there's some people here today who are religious, and they're doing religious actions to think that they can get God's favor. The Bible calls that a dead work. A dead work. You might be singing in a choir. You might be an usher. You might be a parking lot attendant. You might be a whole lot of things. But if you have not put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's the only thing that saves us. And my assignment today is to tell you, stop trying to get God's favor through your dead works. Repent from that and say, you know what? I know I need Jesus in my life. I need to accept him in my life. If your heart has not been changed, if you have not been what the Bible calls born again, if you've not had a conversion experience, you need to get right with God today. Amen. My appeal to you is to accept the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you so that you could be born again. He died on the cross so you could have eternal life. And guess what he did? When he died on the cross, he made it possible for all of your sins to be forgiven. That's what he did. He made provisions for your sins to be forgiven.
You've been listening to FBCG Live with Pastor John K. Jenkins, Sr. Repentance is a lifestyle, not a one-time thing. If you've been blessed by this message and would like to help us reach more people through this ministry, please click the link in the podcast description or visit our website, fbcglenarden.org/give to donate. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you'll subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. Be sure to tune in next week.